Instagram is Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
You know, you're almost sexy when you play this,
Oh, God, don't start, Margaret.
No, I'm a married woman. But when you play this blues music, Phil, and it's just so... You look so masculine.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I hope he does.
Well, you look... Never mind. I don't want anyone getting the wrong idea here. I'm saying this for your public image.
Maybe I ought to just have blues music playing every time
Well, I like the blues and so on and so forth. Now, this clown that came out and... Who's the guy that came out and said that black people never had the blues until they were given the right to vote?
Oh, that dumbass, that Duck Dynasty mother.
Well, now, even a dumb... You see, a dumbass like that... You know, we got a lot of these guys, and the dumbass... It's got to end. I'm telling you now, it's got to end.
I don't think there's any doubt, General, that the dumbass must die. But how?
What, the dumbass must die? Listen, while I agree in principle, I think you two numbskulls, pardon me, General, all due respect.
Of course.
I think you two numbskulls need to take it under advisement. I think there are far better people to discuss.
When you guys say there's got to be something done with a dumbass, you're just talking about how America needs to brighten up in some areas. Is that it?
Well, I think that's the case, yes. However, I believe that in some areas means the dumbass, Jesus.
Yeah, the dumbass that's among us.
The dumbass among us, yes.
Sounds like a book title, I think.
You have a lot of book about it, General.
Well, maybe I will. What did you say?
He said that it's a great title for a book, The Dumbass Among Us.
Did you say it's a great title for a book? Because that's what I...
You know, you're the one to talk about the voice cracking. God, every other word with you, you sound like a squirrel. A squirrel that got kicked square in the, if you'll pardon the expression, nuts.
Yeah, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be singing the soprano. It means that it got kicked in a bag of nuts.
All right. Are we really going to have this discussion?
About what?
About when you kick a squirrel in the nuts, are you actually hitting him point blank, or did you just kick him in a bag full of nuts that he's collecting for the winter?
I don't think I had any part of this discussion.
No, not at all.
But what do you think?
I'm not... What do you mean, what do I think?
Well, it is an interesting conundrum. I wouldn't waste any time on it.
Well, I don't know. Yeah.
Good. You guys talk about that. What do I think? All right. Now, Jeff Downer is returning here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. You know, we started the program talking about something rather disturbing. It's very disturbing, you know. I think it's disturbing any time you see artists attacked. And I'll tell you why. Because the artist represents, as the man said, you know, as Warren Beatty's character in Red said, the artist represents dissent, and dissent is what makes a democracy move. It's the oil, if you will, of the machine. And without dissent, you sort of, you know, turn into a ossified thing.
What are you going with this?
Yeah, what you want to pick it up?
Yeah, okay, I'll pick it up.
Where are you going?
You want me to pick it up? I'm picking it up. I'm leaving.
You better talk. Somebody better talk.
This is Margaret Gray. Phil Henry has just walked off the show.
Yeah.
You gotta keep talking. We gotta go.
We gotta go. This is Margaret Gray. Phil Henry has walked off the show. I suppose we should have expected this. He's threatened to do this before. I don't know what... Do you have the guest?
I got Jeff Downer on the phone. You want to do it?
Do I want to do it? Yes, I do. Jeff Downer joins us now on the Newsmaker line. Which button do I push?
I think it's this one right here. Right there. You push that and you... No.
No, that's not it. Yes. Jeff Downer is on the phone with us.
That's not it.
That's not it.
Jeff Downer is on the phone with us, and Jeff is calling us from the... Jeff Downer is on the phone with us, and Jeff, do you think that...
I'll do it.
God. Phil, we can get along without you.
No, you cannot. No, you cannot. The name of the show is what?
Well, the name...
The name of the show is what?
It could be the Margaret Gray Show.
Yeah, it could be, but the name of the show tonight and forevermore?
Forevermore.
General?
The name of the show is The Phil Henry Show. He's got you, Margaret. He's got you by the short and curlies.
How dare... Oh.
Well, Margaret, you were the one saying that I was such a stud with all this blues music. Okay, Jeff. I mean, very funny. All right, Jeff Dowder joining us here on The Phil Henry Show on our Newsmaker line. We're talking tonight with Jeff about... hi, Jeff. You back with me here, huh?
Yeah, right here, Mr. Henry. Thanks for having me back on to explain, because I was able to get a hold of some of the music in question.
Okay, so what we're talking about here, the music in question is Pussy Riot. We're talking about a group that has had its fair share of run-ins with the authorities in Russia. This is a group of young ladies who are... political dissenters. You might even say that they're cultural dissenters as well. They represent, just dissent. They represent an opposing point of view. They certainly do represent an opposition to what they perceive to be this kind of a de facto dictatorship on the part of Vladimir Putin. And I don't necessarily blame them for thinking that. And so having said all of that, Jeff, your read on their situation being attacked by these Cossacks?
Well, the first thing you want to do, and I think Jeff, or I mean, my name is Jeff, and I'm Jeff Dowder, I apologize. Bud Dickman, are you there?
Yeah. You want me to play the music?
Yeah, the first thing you got to do is play the kind of music that a Cossack, because this is going to give you the difference of how the Pussy Riot is different from, okay, can you hear that, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, I hear that.
Okay, do you hear? This is the kind of music that the Cossack will hear. And they hear this in many different ways. When they attack, when they go into attack, they're all doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. They dance into the attack. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So what are you trying to tell us?
Well, what I'm trying to tell you is, well, wait a minute.
Okay, can you turn that down a little bit, Bud?
Yeah, I want to give you the taste of the Cossack.
Yeah, I got the taste of the Cossack. Smile when you say that.
Yeah, so, Mr. Henry, that's the music. Now, Pussy Riot is totally different. Totally, totally, totally different. I mean, they're all different. And when you have the clash of cultures, you know, you can go ahead and turn it down, Dickman. Hey, Dickman.
Yeah?
You turn it down. Okay. When you have the clash of the culture, like you do have between what a Cossack is going to chill to, and what the punk Pussy Riot people are going to paddle it. I'm sorry, I'm really kind of nervous.
All right, just slow down, man. Slow down.
Yeah. Let me take a beep breath.
A beep breath.
I'm sorry, deep breath. Ah, yeah, that's got it. Okay.
What did you just do? Take a deep breath?
Yeah. So the clash of cultures in Russia, you have to understand that when you have the most traditional Russian unit of culture possible with the Cossacks going back hundreds and hundreds and billions and billions, well, not billions and billions, but going back hundreds and hundreds, and maybe thousands and thousands, or maybe not, of years, but certainly hundreds and hundreds of years, okay? And then you have a punk band called Pussy Riot that goes back two days or 2 minutes. I mean, you know.
Yeah, in a sense, in per capita.
Yeah, per capita, they go back only 2 minutes.
What do you mean per capita? You're talking about how in the overall scheme of time?
Yeah, in the overall scheme of time. Like, I read a thing once where if like, the whole existence of the universe was a foot long, okay, Mr. Henry?
Yeah.
Then the Earth, it would be only, it wouldn't even show up on the ruler yet.
Well, it has to show, what are you talking about?
What do you mean the Earth wouldn't show up on the ruler?
If the whole existence of the universe was a foot long, the Earth wouldn't even be, it wouldn't be on there.
Yeah, on account of that's how short it's been.
Well, that really doesn't help us at all, does it? Why don't you use a larger unit of measure? How about a yard? if the whole existence of the universe was a yard, how long, at what point would the Earth's existence be at?
A yard?
Yeah, 3 feet. Instead of 1 foot, 3 feet.
What?
Boy, you guys are stupid, man. And I swear to God, Jeff, you know, having been recently reintroduced to marijuana as a medicinal marijuana for my sleep, now I know what's wrong with you, man.
Hey, wait a minute, man. I mean, I'm just... God, man, all I'm trying to do is explain to you about the Russian music and how the Cossacks can are going to beat you. They'll kick your ass, man. Don't even worry about that.
I'm not... I don't think they can't kick my ass. I believe they will. Even though they are attacking women, that's a real gutsy move. But I believe it. I believe it all the way, man. But I'm saying to you, what's that got to do with anything, man? We're trying to figure out here how it is the Cossacks and this pug culture you're talking about interact. And here we go again.
Yeah, it's the music.
All right, well, the best way to explain it... Okay, listen to this. See how the Cossacks go into battle listening to this on, like, headphones. Well, not headphones, but in the old days, they went into battle while a dude was in the back playing this on a bakalakalala. See, Mr. Henry? Hey, doo-doo-doo, hey. Okay, if you understand how Russians dance, they always do this. They go, hey, doo-doo-doo-doo, hey. Hey, okay?
Yeah, okay, I understand.
All right. And they have you imagine a Cossack with a whip or something, and the guy will go, hey, and the whip comes down on you, man. You know, they'll kick your ass big time. Even, see, this sounds fairy, but...
Okay, hold on.
What are you doing, man? We're just getting warmed up.
Oh, you guys are really killing it tonight, man. What are you doing? I'm just getting warmed up.
These numbskulls are trying to tell me that the Cossacks are going into battle as they're listening to this light and lilting balalaka, balalaka.
What?
I'm trying to tell your friend, Mr. Doubter.
All right, we'll be back with we'll be back with more here from Jeff Doubter and our close personal friend, Mr. Dickman here. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and tune in. All right, we have our friends, Mr. Doubter, and my good, close, personal friend here, Bud Dickman, and we're doing the very best we can here to understand you guys. So we're talking about the Cossack attack on this group of musicians. These are females. I said to Nikki and Margaret, you'll be gratified to hear this. I don't know if you were in the room at the time. I said, the most courageous people in Russia today are four or five, I don't know how many members there are.
Yes, four or five women.
Yeah, you can't say that.
Yes, I can. And thank you, Phil, for bringing that up. The most courageous people in Russia today are women. And I'll tell you something, that's sometimes what it takes. It takes a pissed off woman to get something done. And don't you forget about that.
Yeah, well, it takes a pissed off.
Why don't you shut up, bud? Just let, you know, what Margaret said is a very good statement. You don't have to argue with everything, okay?
Well, I just kind of disagree with the basic premise of it.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much, Bertrand Russell. We'll get back to your,
We thought about Bertrand Russell. Yeah, who's he?
Don't worry about it. Jeff Doubter on the line with us here from Temple City, California. Jeff, again, I thank you for being with us here. So you were saying, and you seem to think that this is significant, that the Cossacks are going into battle against the Pussy Riot playing this music.
Well, I don't know, you know, if they are, but I know that in past battles, like for instance, you know, I was talking to Bud about it just the other day, and I go, hey, Bud, you know, do you know, man, that. In the war, in like the World War II or even the World War I, man, there were guys that went into battle, and there's another dude blowing a set of pipes, man. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, you're talking about a bagpipe.
Not a bagged pipe, a bagpipe, a set of bagpipes.
Yeah, a set of bagpipes.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, they did. They did that for... The British have been doing that for a long time.
Well, I mean, they did that to give them more courage, right?
Yeah, it's a very stirring sound, the bagpipe. So it always rallies the men, blah, blah, blah. Every army, you know, the old U.S. cavalry had a bugle.
Well, I mean, but we don't do that no more, do we?
I don't know if the American military tradition, but and I don't even know if the British do it anymore, but it was something that they did.
Yeah, so now you got the Cossacks over there in Russia, and they're going into battle against the, you know, Pussy Riot, and all bets are off, man. They're going in, and, you know.
Yeah, they're going in to deliver the heartache.
Yeah, there's a whole load of heartbreak, man.
A whole load of heartbreak, huh? They're taking whips and whatever else, and they're beating up women. Yeah, that's
you know, they're delivering the heartache, man.
Yeah, whoever's on the other end of that, man, they're delivering the heartache.
I got it already. Thank you, Clint Eastwood. So they're delivering the heartache.
Yeah, so I think, Mr. Henry, it would be far better for you to hear how the music... Yeah, okay, right. Thanks a lot, but you hear this, Mr. Henry?
How can I miss it, man? You've been playing it for the last half hour.
Yeah, we're right here. Hey, when the Cossack comes out of the hut that he lives in, and he has the fur hat and everything, then he gets on his horse and he rides toward the enemy. And,
the enemy?
You know something, how long are you going to keep this dimwit on the air?
And the other thing that he'll do is he's got a spear.
They just called you a dimwit.
What?
Never mind, go ahead. So he's got a spear.
Yeah, the Cossack's got a spear, a fur hat, and a fast horse, man. That's all that you ever did need back in those days. Do-do-do-do-do. Okay. Now this dude's hearing all this music, and here comes Pussy Riot. I mean, well, that's not who it is. Generally, it was some other more badass enemy, but let's just say that's what it is, okay? And he's hauling ass, and he's hauling ass, and he's hauling ass, and here's Pussy Riot playing in the music, and he goes, yeah, hey!
What are you... Will you turn that down? So what is he doing? Is he dancing off of his horse?
Yeah, he comes dancing off the horse, hey, and dances up to the girl, hey.
Yeah, and then he beats her.
Yeah, then he beats her up and goes, hey, and gets on a horse again.
Can you imagine seeing something like that?
I think it'd be very stirring, Mr. Henry. No,
I don't mean stirring. Can you imagine that actually happening? I doubt that it has.
Yeah, right here, man. This is the climax of the battle scene. Yeah, you know. And then they just fade away with the Balalaika music.
It's called a balalaika, by the way.
I'm sorry?
It's called a balalaika.
Well, I mean, Mr. Henry, I don't, you know, if you've studied it like I have, but okay, I'll take that under advisement.
Yeah, everybody's taking things under advisement these days. I could say, hey, you know what you ought to do is brush your teeth after every meal. Well, I'll take it under advisement.
Well, it's certainly we have a free will, Phil.
Yeah. So that's fantastic, you guys. Thank you very, very much, Jeff, for joining us.
All right, and I also, you know, I'd appreciate it, Mr. Henry, if you'd make a transcript of this program available to people who write in for it, you know? Do you ever do that, Mr. Henry, like they do on Beat the Press or anything like that?
It's not called Beat the Press. It's...
What's it called?
Meet the Press.
See, I thought that was bad.
What's bad about Meet the Press?
Well, there was a controversy. All right.
What was the controversy?
You didn't hear about... I had written a couple letters in about Meet the Press.
Yeah? What about it?
Well, you want me to do it?
Go ahead.
Well, they thought it was spelled M-E-A-T.
M-E-A-T. Meet the Press.
Yeah, like, you know, pressed ham. So
All right.
Well, Phil, you know, you invited him on the show.
You know, I'm not complaining. That's great. Thank you, bud.
Yeah, you're saying thank you, but I know you're going to be all pissed off.
I'm not pissed off. I swear to God, I'm not pissed off. I'm not, man. I think that cat's got a screw loose, if you want my honest opinion.
And why do you say that?
Well, let me see, man. Yeah, the Cossacks go riding into battle.
Phil, you have to be a little more broad-minded.
Oh, broad-minded about what, man? The Cossacks go into battle, and they dance off the horse. Hey!
Well, you're not familiar, then.
Not familiar with what, man? What do I got to be familiar with? Are you kidding? I just think that I like Jeff Donner. I like him. He's a nice man, and he knows music. But that guy, he knows history like I know balalaka playing, which means, like, I don't at all, okay? Just so everyone's clear.
All right. I'm glad you clarified that, because I didn't know what you were making a claim to.
I'm obviously saying that I can't, you know. All right. It's The Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Join us after the show. We'll be online, and we'll have a show log posted for you tomorrow, a podcast of tonight's show. Also, highlights of Phil Henry's show's past are now being made available on iTunes. So check that out on iTunes, as well as our Bobby Dooley podcast, so on and so forth and like that. We'll be right back.
With a heart like...
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. General Galen Shaw here with me, Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, and Margaret Gray. So you guys know I am reading this book backstage. I was just talking to Nikki about this. I'm reading this book backstage of the Lincoln assassination.
Oh, God, you with the Lincoln assassination.
Now, Phil, you are obsessed with this topic.
What happens is you read one thing, and then you read another thing, and then you read another thing. I'm not obsessed. I've read two things, okay?
Yeah, you read a... Yeah, but you also read an Abraham Lincoln book.
Yeah, I read that back when it came out in 2008, man, the Doris Goodwin book. But here's the thing. This book is pretty interesting. It's called... You got to hear this, because this is really weird. And I just told Nikki about this. I said, I can't believe this. This book is about what happened to the actors and the stagehands that worked that night. There were 46 actors and stagehands in Ford's Theater the night that Lincoln was shot and killed. And this is the very first book I've ever heard of that deals with their stories specifically. Where did they go? What happened to them after this night? This was a horrid night that affected all of their careers in one way or another. Some of them tried desperately not to be interviewed about it. They would stop interviews and walk out of the room if anybody asked them about it. In the case of Laura Keene, who was the star of the show that night, her career went downhill. She never recovered from the horror of that night. The woman was a big American stage star before then. She was, you know, up there with the Booths, you know, Edwin Booth.
That's the guy that shot Lincoln. No, that's his brother.
That was his brother. Edwin and the other brother, they were all very loyal Americans. Their brother was a disgrace, and they said as much. They were pained by it. But here's the thing that I read. So they're talking about what happened to everybody. And they get around to Booth. Now, we know that Booth got killed, but we don't know what happened to the body. Well, we do know that it was buried for a time in the Navy Yard, or rather in the arsenal at Washington, D.C. They didn't want any kind of a shrine. They didn't want any kind of a marked gravestone. They wanted to just bury it and forget it. The family, the Booth family, as much as this man's act had disgraced and shamed them and saddened them, they wanted their son and their brother's body. And they petitioned Edwin Stanton, the Secretary of War, to get the body. And they did so through people that they knew members of the administration. I think one of them was a Baltimore businessman. There were a few people. The mother was terribly aggrieved. The sisters, everybody in the family, they wanted to bury their brother. And so finally, Stanton agrees, and they release the body to the family. So in Baltimore, the body is delivered to the family, and they have a viewing of the body. All the family members show up so they can see the body, and the way this author puts it, I don't know the author's name, because to be honest with you, sir, if you're listening, which I doubt, but if you're listening, you haven't made 100% impression yet with me. On me with your book, but anyway.
Get a load of you, judging the historian.
Well, I've got my reasons, but anyway, this guy claims that the body of John Wilkes Booth lay there in this funeral parlor in Baltimore, which I believe the family wanted the body, and they did get the body, and they viewed the body, but he claims that because the head had been detached from the body during the autopsy, therefore, the family, in further identifying their brother and son, and I'm quoting directly now, passed the head around.
What?
Oh, my God. You're telling me they took the head of John Wilkes Goon or...
John Wilkes Booth.
John Wilkes Booth
Wilkes.
What are you saying?
John Wilkes Booth is the name.
They took the head and did what with it?
A lot of times, you know, they used to play soccer with a head.
Will you wait, bud?
They did. They played soccer with their own brother's...
No, they didn't, General. They took the head and passed it around.
Passed it around?
Like a joint, you're saying.
No, not like a joint. Like a head. I mean...
Well, how do you pass a head around?
Well, I don't know, but the author claims that the Booth family, in identifying their son and brother, passed the head around. Now, I can't... And Nikki had the quote of a lifetime when she said, man, there's some morbid reality for you. That's way, way weird. I mean, what the hell? Did families back then... Were humans back then tougher or less... prone to getting ill over such things? I don't know.
Well, he said it passed the head around. Why?
So they could identify, make sure they could identify that it was indeed the body of their brother. I can't even imagine that, if that's my brother or my son. I don't give a damn what he's done. And the sisters cut locks of hair and held onto it. It's way out there. Way, way out there.
Well, you're saying you're not impressed with this author.
Well, this author does something that he did because I believe he needed to spruce up his... He felt his book wasn't interesting enough. It's very interesting. And then I come to this part of the book where he begins to roll out all the conspiracy theories. And it does him no service. It doesn't do history any service because every last one of these so-called conspiracy theories have been debunked time and again. And all of a sudden, his credibility with me and his ability as a writer just went right to the floor. Because if you are so insecure about what you're doing that you've got to trot this garbage out right in the middle of what has been a pretty good historical text... then I got questions, man, about everything you do. And I'm wondering whether this is something that even happened.
Well, are you saying he must have footnoted this?
Well, that's the good point, yes. And he did. But, you know, just because you got a number next to something doesn't mean that that thing has been fully researched and verified. I mean, I could go and look at that footnote and find out it's from some magazine that is equally, or from a book that's equally suspect. So... You know, it's...
Dad, a guy to pass a guy's head around, man. You got to really be hard up for something to do.
Well, that's just it. They had very little to do in those days.
Yeah?
Well, it stands to reason if you're... first of all, you didn't have... You have to understand something. You didn't have the television, you didn't have the film, and the so forth and so on that you have today.
So what are you saying, General?
I'm saying, if you'll allow me...
Go ahead.
They're in Baltimore, Maryland in the 1860s. What is there to do? You can go crabbing, and I imagine that's something that genteel ladies stayed away from.
Well, I don't think women were allowed to do any kind of sports like that.
Well, but where are you going, dear? Oh, Dad, I'm going to go get crabs. Are you kidding? You're kidding, right, Henry? Get a load of him. Well, what are you laughing at?
So what's the point here?
The point is... I've got nothing to do. I'm bored to tears. I mean, if I have to sit here one more second, I'm going to tear my own head off and look at it. Let's go down to the funeral parlor, and we know that John is there. His body is there. Let's go down and
pass the head around and...
Well, for something to do, for God's sake.
Oh, General, I think that is beneath even your level of intelligence.
Well, I is that an insult?
No, it's not. No, trust me.
Yeah, well, you're saying it got so bored.
I'm telling you that they were so bored, they said, God Almighty, I'd even go down to the funeral parlor and toss John's head around or take a look inside the mouth. I don't know. It goes to what Dickman was saying about the invention of the game of football. You know what, Henry? Go straight to the demon. Go down to the demon and tell him I sent you. I sent you.
Okay, I mean, go to hell and...
You know what I said.
Don't use the bathroom. I'm going to go in there.
I'm not using the bathroom.
Let's go down to the funeral parlor and toss around John's head. But you're right about the the birth of soccer, allegedly, and that's a myth. The birth of soccer, the birth of football, was a Danish skull. Apparently, there had been a battle, or there had been some war, and the Danes were not loved by whoever it was that was on that turf, and they found the somehow exhumed the skeleton of a Dane, and the skull was used as a something they kicked around.
And that's what soccer became.
That's the old wives' tale. That's the legend that they were kicking the skull of a Dane.
Now see, there's the people that got. No wonder you're gonna gut a giraffe and take it out on the giraffe.
Yeah, taking it out on the giraffe. The fact that soccer was invented by kicking a Dane's skull.
Yeah, that's fantastic. What are you talking about, man? It's as good as anything.
Yeah, that's right. That's why that guy in Denmark cut down that poor little giraffe because he was pissed off that the
Denmarkians, or not the Denmarkians, their heads got, or that one man.
What one man?
The dead one, the one whose head got booted around.
Yeah. That probably the first time they kicked the Denmark head through the goal. The guy goes, goal!
Shut up, man. God, that irritates me, man. Oh, that's that guy who does that.
Yeah, I can't stand that, man. Go!
Shut up, bud. The first time they kicked a Denmark head through the goal. All right, we're going to be back on the Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. And don't forget, online on TuneIn as well. Get a backstage pass. Join us for our video cast every single night. Every time we have a show, we on a video.
Woo!
Yeah. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So it's kind of a weird, weird story that I've told the assembled here. And that is that, you know, that book that I'm reading, you know.
I think you got to get off this Lincoln kick before your mind just comes apart.
I agree with that.
What are you talking about?
You're reading too much Lincoln this and Lincoln that.
Abraham.
All right, Abraham.
You know Lincoln's name, don't you?
Yes, I know his name, but you said to me the other day that the nickname Babe is a common nickname.
A nickname, not a dick name.
I said nickname. Anybody want to come at me tonight? I'm in the mood.
You've been in the mood since last night. So just relax. His name's Abraham.
That's right. What do you think I said?
Babraham. What is this, Wayne's World?
Yeah, it's just shit at Wayne's World.
Wait, is that? That's that mental midget that did that movie. The guy who, what is it?
What did he say, Nikki?
Schwing.
Yeah, Schwing. Oh, that. You know what? I could only hope and pray to have that putz in front of me. I'd put my fist.
All right. Point being that I'm reading too much about Lincoln. Okay, fine. You know, it was an interesting thing. And the reason why I started reading that in the first place, the trial transcripts, is I simply wanted to see how people expressed themselves in those days. It could have been anything, man. You know, I read that logbook by Captain Bly.
Well, that was... Where's that from?
That's from the 18th century. And it's very interesting reading the grammar. And this is official Admiralty grammar. I mean, this is the penmanship, or I should say the stenographer, or whoever they had taking the record down, working for the Admiralty as they're interviewing Bly after this mutiny. And so the official record, as it comes down to us from the Admiralty records in those days, had grammar such as that. It was Captain Bly stated the following. I were there with my crew, and I were going to go here and there. So it's grammar that sounds real dumbass to us, but maybe back then
it was scholarly.
You got to be putting me on. Some guy saying I were there, and that's scholarly?
I don't know. So the way I figure it, it might have been difficult to find on any given day a qualified. Maybe the guy got sick. Maybe they didn't have backup stenographers. I don't know. This shorthand that was used in the Lincoln transcripts was invented by the very man who was the court reporter. So this man had been a court reporter, and he came up with a stenographer shorthand, which they used in that trial. And that helped, obviously, with the keeping of the records. I don't know what they used in the 18th century. And so it's very, very possible they had people that could write and knew how to read, because that wasn't a very common thing either.
Well, the people that could read and write in those days could read and write to the level of what, like a three-year-old or something?
I don't know. Very educated people could read and write anything. Some people were passably literate. And it's possible that, you know, today in America, we're shocked if we come across an adult that can't read or write. I mean, I told you about the guy that I knew, right, bud?
Yeah, that guy was he your barber or something?
You're kidding me. You met someone like that?
I not only met a guy who didn't know how to read and write, but he owned his own business.
Oh, bullcrap. Now you're bullcrapping me.
I'm not bullcrap. I swear to God.
You're bullcrapping me.
I'm not bullcrap. I swear to God.
Well, what does that do, Miss Ellie?
He had his own salon, his hair salon. It was a men's cutting place for men.
Well, you're saying that so you don't want us to think you went into a ladies' hair cutting place.
Yeah.
Oh, why don't I just smack you now and put you out of your misery? So anyway, no, it was a guy's salon. It was a guy's hair cutting place. So back when I had hair, so that was like, you know, 20 plus years ago. I'm sitting there, I'm getting my hair cut. His name was Sean. Nice guy. Married. Probably my age at the time. I was in my late 30s. And we're talking. I said, you know, he says, I can't read or write. I said, you're kidding. He said, no. He says, I'm taking literacy classes now, but I cannot read or write. I said, you own your own business. He goes, yep. He says, my wife, and he obviously, you know, married, I hope he married a woman he loves. He sure as hell married a woman that was smart enough to.
Well, that's scary, though. How does he know she's keeping the right records?
That's a good point. I didn't get into it. But his wife kept the books and wrote the necessary correspondence, and I suppose he knew that she was writing the right things because he would get these responses back from people that obviously comported with what it was he wanted to say.
What? Say that again.
No, I ain't gonna say. He was getting responses back from people that made sense to the question he was asking.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah, so even though he couldn't read or write...
Yeah, but how's he reading a response?
Because his wife's reading it to him.
Man, that must be embarrassing as hell.
Can you imagine that? You got to sit down there like you're a thumb sucker, having your wife reading all the things, reading everything. See what she's doing? She's reading it like it's a Jack and Jill book. How do you like that?
Mm-mm-mm.
What a man got to come to when he loses 9 years.
Hey, what is it with this Carlito's Way quote? So
I thought it was very apropos.
Yeah, so anyway, I said to Sean, I go, wow, you know, and this guy, he was a great guy. He came from very, very bad circumstances, very, very poor. He was a member of the golf club, and he joined the golf club. He had his own business. He was in the Chamber of Commerce. This guy really wanted to, and he'd done it. He really made a kind of a place for himself.
Where was it, anyway?
Over in Arcadia, my little hometown over there. Anyway, the one last thing he needed to do was learn how to read and write. So I said, so are you, how you doing with that? He goes, yeah, I'm getting better, you know. He says, I'm taking a class now. He says, we're in a part of the class now. We recognize signs and what the signs. I was like, I walked out of there shaking my head.
Can you, in the United States of America, in what year was it?
I don't know, around 90, 91.
In the year 19, of course, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, see that, back then.
What do you mean, back then?
1990 wasn't that long ago.
Well, it's 23 years ago. Are you crazy or something? I wasn't born yet.
You weren't born yet by 3 years.
Yeah.
So that was way back, huh?
Well, it was kind of in the olden days.
What do you mean in the olden days, man? 1990? Are you nuts or something? I will tell you this, though. This is kind of interesting. I mean, now that you mention it, Robert, I'm watching that movie, King of Comedy, and I'm looking at them using the phone booth, and everything is modern in the movie. It's a great movie if you want to see the urban landscape of New York circa the 1980s. And you look at that, and you realize right on the edge, we're right on the edge, looking at that city at that time, we're right on the edge of this new media technologic revolution, which changed everything. Because in that film, everybody's using a phone booth. Within a few short years, they're all cell phones, all computers. Everything's digital. No more tapes. You know, it's pretty amazing. So,
Well, you lost me. You were very interesting, Phil, today, up until that last 2 minutes, and you just blew it. You blew it. I'm kidding.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Well, I don't know what you mean, though, about the king of comedy. Don't worry about it. It's a movie that we were watching. Okay. Well, so you're blowing me off, huh?
No, I'm not blowing you off, General. I got other stuff I got to do here.
Are you going to make available, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Phil, the transcript?
Yeah, Jeff Dotter called up and wanted to know about it.
Am I going to make available the transcripts? No, we're not going to do that.
Well, they do it on, that's why they had a problem with Meet the Press. M-E-A-T, the press.
Yeah, I know. Well, I don't understand. How? So what was their, even if it was called Meet the Press?
1 minute.
Judge, it's not about a press to him.
What difference does it make? Was he looking to get transcripts of that show?
Yeah, he's seen some show, and he writes Meet the Press, M-E-E-T, and then he realized, wait a minute, what if it's Meet the Press, M-E-A-T? And that's when he got disturbed by it.
Well, did he write in?
No, he got disturbed.
Well, I can understand that.
You guys live on a planet that is not the one that I live on, man.
30 seconds.
I'm telling you right now, you guys live on a planet that is not the planet that I live on. I live on a planet that, well, this is my world, see?
Now cut it out, Mr. Henry.
Here on the planet Earth, we do things differently. You see, on the planet Earth, Meet the Press is meet them as in hi. I'd like to meet you, Mr. Member of the Press. Not M-E-A-T.
Five.
What if it is me?
Four.
That's a press hand.
Three. Two.
Go press.
One.
Press this.
Seven, five.